members of the United States Congress, thank you very much, and to my fellow citizens, America is back.
Donald Trump has been president of the United States for 43 days, and in that time he has upended domestic and foreign policy. Federal workers' jobs slashed, US aid closed down, funding to children's and healthcare programs cut, isolating and alienating Europe, proposing a takeover of Gaza with no right of return for expelled Palestinians, bringing Russia in from the cold. And last night, at a joint session of the US Congress, he said he's just getting started. He came to the Capitol building, which is controlled by his Republican Party, to take a lengthy victory lap. In typical hyperbole, he said that many believed his to be the most successful start to a president in US history. He compared himself to George Washington and boasted about the size of his electoral victory. He ticked off what he regards as his accomplishments: hundreds of executive orders and actions, lower levels of illegal border crossings, and the withdrawal from international organizations and agreements. He also spoke at length about his ban on transgender athletes in women's sports and moves to get so-called woke ideology out of US schools and the military. Wokeness is trouble. Wokeness is bad, he said. It's gone, and we feel so much better for it, don't we? He added. At just over 1 hour and 40 minutes, President Trump set a modern record for the longest presidential address to Congress. Our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, was tuned in. What was his assessment of it?
Yeah, it was very long, 99 minutes. Most of it was stuff that we've heard before, but that was very much the key message here. He wanted to reinforce this idea that he's doing the things that he said he would do during the election campaign. So lots of recitation of all these executive orders and his plans for tax changes. So most of it we knew about. There were only a few things that we didn't know about that were kind of new or surprising things. And one of them was about Russia and the peace process in Ukraine.
Well, indeed. And foreign policy doesn't usually take centre stage in these addresses. And it didn't on Tuesday either. But we'll start with it because it has dominated the news agenda in Europe and the world for the last number of days. What did he say about Russia?
He said he thought Russia was close to peace. I mean, yeah, you're right. He didn't have an awful lot to say about foreign affairs, but on Russia and Ukraine, that was important stuff. Here's what he had to say about Russia.
We've had serious discussions with Russia and have received strong signals that they are ready for peace. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Wouldn't that be beautiful? Wouldn't that be beautiful? It's time to stop this madness. It's time to halt the killing. It's time to end this senseless war. If you want to end wars, you have to talk to both sides.
And he got a letter from the Ukrainian president.
Yeah, now that was the most interesting part of the speech because, yeah, he said before the Russians have indicated that they wanted to talk peace with him. We knew that Zelensky had come to the White House last Friday to sign a minerals deal that was part of the price that the Americans are looking for to push through a peace program. And of course, we all saw what happened there, that disastrous meeting. Everybody's wondering, could there be any repairing of that relationship? We saw a tweet yesterday from the president of Ukraine. But last evening, Donald Trump revealed that he'd got a letter from the president of Ukraine. And this is what he said about that.
I'm also working tirelessly to end the savage conflict in Ukraine. Millions of Ukrainians and Russians have been needlessly killed or wounded in this horrific and brutal conflict with no end in sight. Earlier today, I received an important letter from President Zelensky of Ukraine. The letter reads, Ukraine is ready to come to the negotiating table as soon as possible to bring lasting peace closer. Nobody wants peace more than the Ukrainians, he said. My team and I stand ready to work under President Trump's strong leadership to get a peace that lasts. We do really value how much America has done to help Ukraine maintain its sovereignty and independence. Regarding the agreement on minerals and security, Ukraine is ready to sign it at any time. that is convenient for you. I appreciate that he sent this letter, just got it a little while ago.
President Trump there on the Ukraine war and the letter from President Zelensky. Sean, one of the other big stories on Tuesday was the tariffs. 25% tariff on Mexico and Canada, a further 20% tariff on Chinese exports. Donald Trump loves tariffs. He thinks they're good for the US economy. But he did admit that things might get a little turbulent.
Yeah, he did. He said he's expecting some difficulties in the coming weeks to do with tariffs. But no sign of him backing down on the tariffs either. There was some indication from his commerce secretary, some recognition at the least that things are not going well in the financial markets. The stock markets have really been taking a nosedive over the past 2 days because of these start of the tariffs on those three countries. But the president said that come April 2nd, he's going to introduce a sweeping reciprocal tariff regime that will also reciprocate any kind of non-tariff barriers, technical restrictions, things like that, that stop US goods being exported tariff-free or freely indeed into any country. So he's going to apply that to every country that the US does trade with. And he said farmers in particular, get ready to do more business in the United States. That's American farmers, because we're going to keep lots of imports out through tariffs. So he sees tariffs, or at least during this speech, he says the tariffs are the instrument by which he is going to remake the US economy, but certainly no sign of backing down.
Tariffs are not just about protecting American jobs. They're about protecting the soul of our country. Tariffs are about making America rich again and making America great again, and it's happening, and it will happen rather quickly. There'll be a little disturbance, but we're okay with that?
A little laughter there when he said there'll be a little disturbance on the border, Sean, because that was the top issue in the election back in November that helped get Donald Trump elected to the presidency. What did he have to say about how his bid to reduce the numbers illegal immigrants crossing the border? How is that going?
Well, he's saying it's a tremendous success and that it's all happened since the change of presidency. He said he criticized media and Democrats for saying that there was legislation needed to control the border. He said, in reality, it turns out all that was needed was a new president. Now, the numbers crossing the borders have fallen dramatically compared to this period, to the same month a year ago. But during the intervening time, Joe Biden did introduce an executive order that really did tighten up on the border access from about the middle of last year, very belatedly, according to even many Democrats. But nevertheless, the numbers were falling very, very sharply during Biden's regime. Undoubtedly, numbers have tailed back as well, because people now believe that the new regime here in the United States is going to be a lot tougher. And of course, the Mexican side have also deployed additional troops down there. So yes, he was saying, look, I am delivering for you. Again, consistent with that entire message of, I said I'd do these things and I'm doing them for you, the American people, right now.
Within hours of taking the oath of office, I declared a national emergency on our southern border. And I deployed the U.S. military and Border Patrol to repel the invasion of our country. And what a job they've done. As a result, illegal border crossings last month were by far the lowest ever recorded, ever.
President Trump there, and I heard one US Republican congressman saying he got about 60 or 70 ovations during his 1 hour and 44 minute speech. The Democrats, Sean, who filled up half of the audience, I read that they sat in icy silence.
Yes, they did. The only time they did actually clap was at one point towards the end, where President Trump said the US has given hundreds of millions of dollars of aid to Ukraine. Well, that got a small ripple of applause from the Democrats, because, of course, it was a Democrat president who'd given all that aid. The Ukrainians feeling tough love from the current incumbent in the White House. But yes, everything else, they sat silently, and it really was a split screen effect. The screen split by the aisle down the middle of the House. The Republicans standing, cheering, given those, what, 60 perhaps ovations to the president. The Democrats sitting in stony silence throughout the speech. Some of them did hold up placards with various things like lies or Musk steals your money. A lot of the women members from the Democrats were wearing pink. Two or three of the members did walk out of the House during the speech, some of them wearing black T-shirts with the word resist, I saw, printed on one of them. They've been looking around for some kind of a way to find a purpose, I guess, in this new era of Donald Trump. They have been pretty shell-shocked since the election result last November. They have not been a coherent force. This was the first time that they were trying to present some kind of a united front. Whether it'll work or not, who knows? Certainly people who liked President Trump, who voted for him, they will have liked what they heard tonight. Whether they'll be impressed by the parliamentary tactics of the Democrats remains to be seen. Perhaps more importantly, will the Democrat voters be impressed by the those parliamentary tactics? Again, that remains to be seen. The rebuttal speech that was delivered by a new senator, Elise Slotkin, former CIA officer, tacked to the middle ground of potential Democratic politics. She was elected in a district that elected her as a Democrat and voted for Donald Trump in the presidential election on the same day, and was suggesting, yes, we can find common cause and sensible policies that the American people would vote for. But I think tonight it was completely blown away by Donald Trump. And with an hour and a half or more of speech time by the president, I'm not sure how many people will have actually made it all the way through to hear Senator Slotkin, at least voluntary members of the audience, people who are paid to watch, fair enough. But if you were volunteering for this stuff, you were a serious, serious political nerd.
You've been listening there to our correspondent, Sean Whelan, giving us the substance of that Trump speech to Congress.